hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Hey, everyone.
Hi, how are you? I'm Christine Marie. I'm the mom here.
I was going to say that beautiful voice over there is Mama. We like to call her Mama, Christine Marie. And I'm Julie, the daughter. And we're life optimization coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher. We've got some businesses together. And we're really about the Clutterfly Effect. That's the name of our book.
That's right.
Tweaking Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And Mama, have you ever had an experience where you've had this big revelation? And I've kind of had a big revelation where you've heard the same saying over and over, and you think it means one thing. And then all of a sudden you go, boom, it means something totally different to you. And we're also going to talk a little bit about today about pillars, because we got a pretty big pillar talk coming up. We're talking about sleep and how, and also about how we may be coasting in different areas of our life. And we've got a little disappointing news during Elliot's Corner. So my perfect dog may not be so perfect. But anyway, I want to get back to the sayings that we hear our whole life and how all of a sudden we have a new understanding about it and a revelation mm-hmm. about it. You're going to have to help me with this saying because I don't memorize it correctly because mm-hmm. I didn't have 12 years of Catholic school. So I'm not good at memorizing stuff. But it's the idea that you talk to your mountain and you cast it away.
Yes.
And then whatever you ask for in his name, it'll come to you. Right. Now, tell me the whole thing.
Right. Well, it's escaping me right now. It's like, let's see. When you come, I can't remember it. I can't remember it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of how it goes. And so here we go.
Well, you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea.
Yes.
And now doubt in your heart. And it's, you know, you'll cast it in the sea and then you can ask for what you want. If you don't doubt in your heart, you get it.
Right.
That's totally paraphrasing, yes. Of course. But that is it.
Yes. It's so funny because you literally said it word for word earlier today.
Yes.
But what's funny is that when going back and hearing that parable, you know, off and on through my life, I always thought that the mountain was about faith. You, whatever you wanted, you tell it. Like, no matter if it was a mountain, as big as a mountain, you can make it go away. But what really that mountain is clutter. Mm-hmm. It's your obstacles. It's mm-hmm. your fear. It's what you have to get around or move out of the way to get what you truly want or need right. or desire
what's
for your life.
What's on the other side of that mountain?
Yes, it is those. It's the fear. It's the anger. It's the negative things that are holding you back. Now, I may be behind the eight ball on this. Maybe for years, everybody knew what that mountain represented. But to me, it didn't represent that mountain of clutter mm-hmm. that you have to get rid of mm-hmm. to achieve your big dreams, mm-hmm. to achieve what you're meant to achieve in life. Mm-hmm. And whatever they may be, you know, whatever they may be. So I thought it was interesting today. That just kind of was a revelation that came
yes,
to me a day.
Exactly.
Like, oh, wow. It's just
and
like
it's
clutter.
So profound that the Clutterfly Effect deals with that.
Yeah.
Even in our book, we actually refer to that quote. So I'm sorry that I had that brain fart where I just couldn't remember it. But it is this, you know, a lot of people get stopped by the mountain.
Right.
A lot of people stop and build their, you know, houses there. There's a little village that
right.
you know, springs up right in front of the mountain because people just decide, well, this is it. This is where I got
stopped.
This is
where I landed, yeah.
And so I'll just stay here. And we're saying there's something on the other side of that mountain that's your destiny.
Well,
and it's worth it to cast it into the sea, to
right.
climb over it, walk around it, you know, tunnel under it, whatever you have to do.
Blow it up.
Exactly.
Or just like find a different route. And whatever you have to do to get over that mountain. We use the mountain as different metaphors. We use the mountain for now as this mountain of clutter that you have to get over. But there's also that mountain that when we reach the top of the mountain, our mm-hmm. our goal, mm-hmm. You know, when we go to Mount Everest in some sense, there's always these base camps
right.
that are built along the way.
And I'm assuming that the lower the base camps are, the more crowded they are.
Yes, exactly.
And the higher you go, the less crowded.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know.
So it's kind of worth it.
It is.
To get higher.
It is
to
worth it.
To go higher.
It is worth it. And we're going to talk about that during Pillar Talk a little bit too, that not about getting higher, but about the idea that sometimes we can rest at a base camp a little too long, mm-hmm. get a little too comfortable, mm-hmm. hang out with too many guys out there who are in their Sherpa hats and enjoying the thin air and so forth. And it's time to move forward. So, girlfriend, how's your week been?
You know, it's been better. There had been better weeks. There were some, I called this week sort of open doors. I mean, so doors had been open to me, and not physical doors, or, but in my mind.
Right.
And so I was able to see bigger pictures this week, and that was the revelation that I thought was very, very cool. But along with that, there was some challenges and some sadnesses and things like that. So it was, I guess it was a true girlfriend week. You know, I was thinking about when Julie and I decided to do this show years and years ago. I don't know how many now, but we started on Blog Talk Radio years and years ago. We modeled our show after two longtime girlfriends that
right.
were on WGN for many, many, many years. And because they just chatted about their lives and some current events. And I mean, it was just a wholesome thing
right.
that we liked to hear. And then they retired. And just recently, I guess, maybe within a year or so.
I think so, a year,
they came back. And they don't live in the same town. I think they live in different states. I'm not sure, but they came back for 2 hours a week on a Saturday. And, it was interesting because they weren't the same old girlfriends,
right.
you know, but they had a live,
event.
This
or a live feed, I guess. Where,
yeah. They did their show live from some kind of conservatory or something. And, you know, they were saying, hey, you know, it's been a while. We haven't done a live event in years. And they said that even though they put it out there and it was free, they said, just have a table.
Yeah.
You know, for
just have one row of chairs, nothing major.
Yeah, because they didn't think that there'd be this you know, pent up demand. But as Julie said, it was very crowded, and they were really happy to. And I think too, they said in their promo, you know, we're older.
Yeah.
Don't expect us to look gray. We're older. And so there was a twinge of bittersweetness for me as well, because we sort of modeled ourselves on them,
right.
and here they were in all their humanness. You know, not
right.
that we went to see them, but that we, you know, that
well, they
were listening to the
they showed their vulnerability for sure, and you could, like you said, in their show and in their promos, you could hear just a little bit of a fear, like, well, we've been gone a long time,
yeah.
We just have this little show,
yeah,
you know,
little 2 hours a week,
yeah.
It used to be 4 to 5 hours a day,
exactly, and all of a sudden, you know, well, what kind of impact? Does anybody really want to see us anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a success for them, and they
mm-hmm.
were very happy. And I thought it took great bravery,
mm-hmm.
because I'm sure the last thing they wanted was to do all this work and then have no one show up
mm-hmm.
or not have it be a success. And sometimes we have to just put ourselves out there enough to fail.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was a bit of a bittersweet, but it sort of defined my week in the background. I don't know
right.
why, but it did.
Oh, I understand. I also felt this week, I felt how fast time goes by. Everything seemed to be going in uber speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like lost in the pack, but I did feel that you know, the world could be passing me by in some sense.
Yes,
because
yes.
I'm not like the millennials, you know.
The millennials.
Right. The millennials, whatever they're called. And just feeling, I'm feeling different than the newer generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I totally am too. And I don't understand them.
Right. Yeah. And so you go, okay, what's going on here? You know, what's going on? And so I think this week has been just a really bittersweet week. We've had some ups and downs, and it's weird. There's nothing to pinpoint, like not a specific thing that occurred. It's just been a very interesting week. And I think those weeks just happen. You know, those weeks just happen. And you have to just go, okay, put my big curly panties on, get moving, shake things up. I do have to say this. We had a good Friday, you and I did.
Yes,
we had a really fun. I think it was because it was a rough week. We chose to just say, okay, Friday we're going to do something fun. We had our modified version of a food crawl.
Totally modified.
Totally modified. Those just are no longer fun when you say, I'm not having sugar, not having this, you know, I'm eating healthier, you know. So we had a very modified food crawl, went to some of our, went for a road trip, and found a great park for Elliot, and he just played for an hour.
We went to DeKalb, and they had an awesome dog park.
Yeah.
And he just enjoyed himself for about an hour and a half. It was great.
It was great. We went golfing. We did some driving, you know, practiced some driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done that since last fall.
Well, and the place that we went to, they changed their rates.
Yeah, that was a little silly.
It was normally $3 a bucket of balls.
Yeah.
And they had changed it to $5.
Right.
And it really didn't fill up the bucket. It was
about a third full. Yeah.
Would you think it was about a half?
Third so probably more accurate because the bucket gets bigger as it gets higher up.
Right.
Third's probably more accurate. And so I was angry hitting those balls, getting my frustration out.
And you were the only one there because nobody else is like, I'm not coming here anymore.
Right. And so I tied Elliot up and I got far enough away from him that I wouldn't hit him by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because you know that the worst thing you can do for golfing is to try to hit your ball hard.
Right.
It's impossible. Because once you do, you know, you're putting too much effort into it and so forth.
And I know when Norman was golfing just recently, just doing hitting some balls, there was like three or four teenagers, and they were just trying to kill it. And Norm was like out distancing them by a lot. And they go, "Sir, what's going on? How do you do that?" And Norm said, "Well, I don't want to tell you what to do, but you guys are just trying to kill the ball.
Yeah,
it doesn't work like that.
No, you can't. But I have to say." Like late Friday night, Saturday morning, my lower back was just...
Oh, really?
Oh, I was in pain.
Oh, from the golfing.
From golfing. I was like, whoa, this is interesting. And you just forget the muscles that you haven't used in a while.
Right, right.
And just like, okay, well, I got to get back into swing
of
things.
Well, it's time. It's this time of the year.
To just... And it's funny because I don't like to golf, but I do like to hit the balls.
Right.
See how far I can go. And...
So do I.
So, exactly. I hit those balls. It just makes me feel good. I don't know why. But that was a good Friday. That was sure enough a good mm-hmm. Friday. So I think we should almost try and talk a little bit about Elliot right now and move into Elliot's Corner.
Okay, let's do.
Okay. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. So... what to say about Elliot? It started off with Elliot at the beginning of the week. Came back from play and stay. Linda dropped him off. And I said, how's he doing? How do you do today? And she said, oh, he was good. And then all of a sudden she said, well, he's having some issues that when there's too many dogs around, he gets a little aggressive sometimes if a dog, you know, amps up the energy or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. It's kind of new behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, he's not even two yet. He won't even be two till October.
No. And so I'm like, okay. And then she recommended me, like, oh, you know, why don't you call our trainer to see if maybe you can get your dog trained a little bit in the area. And I'm like, okay, well, and it's funny because I take him to dog parks all the time. He's totally fine. But at this point, playing state, I know that it's not uncommon for her to have maybe 30 dogs in a row, right. You know, all at one time and a thing.
Yeah, and that overwhelms him.
I think it does overwhelm him. And so yesterday, I get a phone call from her, and I had placed two calls into the trainer and didn't get a call back. And I get a call back from Linda, and she's like, oh, you know, I was talking to the trainer again. I'm like, okay. Because I've tried to call her twice and she's not returned my phone calls. Mm-hmm. She goes, okay. I go, she's going to probably call you. I'm like, all right. And basically what she's saying is that your dog, Elliot, and my dog, Trip, can't come to play. We shouldn't come to play and stay anymore. I'm like, well, I thought you owned play and stay, not your trainer.
Right, exactly.
But I guess she has to obey by what the trainer says. I don't know. And so the story goes like this. I guess one of the staff was talking to the trainer about Elliot's behavior. I'm like, my dog has behavior. I'm with this dog all the time. Mm-hmm. And he goes to dog parks. I'm not seeing
it. Not only
it.
That, but he goes to
Play-ins Day.
Training twice a week.
And so.
Not at Play-ins Day. But
right.
At
and so I guess he can. He said the staff person said that he's put his teeth on her, but never has bit her like 3 or 4 times.
And you know what, though?
That's true.
He does that. He doesn't bite you.
He doesn't. He does put his teeth on you, though.
He doesn't. And doesn't hurt or anything.
No, he's not.
It's just what he does.
It's just what he does.
I've never stopped that, though.
I know. I do feel a little bit bad about that.
Yeah, me too.
Because he does just feel like, I'll have my hand out and just put his teeth on my hand.
And it's not aggressive or anything.
No, he does do that.
Yeah.
So I feel a little bad about that. But then, So then the trainer talked to Linda saying that, you know, Elliot can't come back now. And so I've been heartbroken because twice a week he would go, have fun, come back tired, and he's socialized.
And he got hit, and he is a socialized dog.
Yes.
And we know what it's like not to have socialized dogs.
Right. And so I just felt so heartbroken. And I felt pissed, to be honest with you. I felt pissed because, I mean, I know my dog. He's not a biter. However, I felt like, you know, what your staff was scared of, this little Wheaton Terrier, you know? Mm-hmm. I just was a little...
30 pounds.
Yeah, I was just a little pissed off for some reason. Mm-hmm. And because my ego was hurt a little bit, you know? And I guess I would say it'd be like getting a phone call from daycare saying your kid bit somebody and you can't come to daycare for a day, you know?
Well, this is forever, though.
This is forever.
Yeah.
And so, oh, and the trainer said that we could maybe revisit this a year from now when he's a little bit older. Mm-hmm. He may just be too young.
We'll revisit her a year from now.
Yeah. Well, and so the other thing that got me was a trainer was talking to me, and I said, well, you know, and we kind of talked about maybe meeting for a training session together. And before I hung up, I thought, okay, well, tell me how much it is, because I have to drive an hour and a half away, you know, to go there and so forth. And she's like, well, it's usually $150, but I'll make it just $100 for you. And I thought, no, no, I am not going to drive an hour and a half, pay you $100.
To disbar my dog.
I'm not masochistic. Come on. Or is it sadistic? No, I'm not masochistic. But anyway, so I'm not doing that. So the end result is I don't know what I learned from Elliot this week, except that I've learned that things change. And it is nice that Linda said that she loves Elliot. She has 5 dogs of her own, and she has a fenced-in area. And she says, you know, twice a week I want him to come over.
But she's gone every day, though. Isn't she?
No, she doesn't go there every day. Mm. She goes there 3 times a week. And the time that she's not gone, she'd love to take Elliot and have him play with her dogs for like 3 or 4 hours, which is a lovely gesture. I'm not going to throw it away. But it's just different now, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just a little depressed.
I know. We used to schedule our appointments.
Oh, I know.
You know, dentists, things like that on the days that he was gone, so we didn't have to worry about him.
Right. So I don't know what I've learned from this, except that just things change.
I think that,
and you got to up your ante.
We might learn that lesson. The takeaway may come in a bit. Mm-hmm. It's so raw right now. I just found out about it, you know, last night.
Right.
And so I haven't really processed it at all.
What was funny, because
so
when I told
may
you
have a takeaway,
your little D'Antoni side came out, your little Italian side came out, which is you wronged me once, I cut you off at the knees, you know. And the first thing you said to me after, she goes, we're done with them. We're done with them all, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, I understand that. Because the first thing you are is you just feel hurt.
Well, you feel insulted.
You feel insulted.
Out of 30 dogs, our little guy,
yeah,
who's a darling dog,
yeah,
he's the one that gets...
He's the one, yes.
You know, kicked out. That's yeah. just ludicrous to me.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm sure it was the other dog's fault.
Yeah. Well, I had this vision that this I don't know, this worker headed in for Elliot.
Can I say something?
Maybe she wasn't getting enough attention from him or something. Yeah. But it felt vicious to me.
I agree with you. And I also felt that she just couldn't handle dogs. I mean, this one staff, she was afraid of Elliot for some reason. And
I imagine there's protocol there.
Right.
Like, if that worker goes to the trainer and says this, then the trainer has to probably by law or some kind of protocol, has to make a decision.
Right. And Linda told me specifically that Elliot has never bitten anybody at Play and Stay. Never. So there's never been a biting issue. Just that this one staff feels that he can get, when the energy rises in the group, he can escalate. I'm like, well, yeah, because there's 30-something dogs in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have seen when we went to training class, we had this one German Shepherd that's muzzled. And I saw right in front of me that this, you know, the German Shepherd went really aggressive towards the trainer, you know, Pat, who I love, sweet Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
84-year-old trainer.
Yeah, you know, and then the German Shepherd walked by us and his staff, you know, and Elliot went like, you know, barked at him once, like, ruff, you know, like, hey, knock that stuff off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he can be like protective.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, knock that stuff off. Mm-hmm. But yet on Friday, before this all went down,
right,
literally he was in a dog park with 8 other dogs.
Easy, yeah.
And he was perfect. Everybody was petting him.
100%.
He was running around. The only thing that I didn't like a little bit was a woman was getting water, you know, filling up one of the water things,
mm-hmm.
and he jumped on her like and started drinking the water before she put it down.
Oh, that's him.
You know, that is him.
Yeah.
So we got to work on a few things, but I don't know what to say, but oh, well, that's kind of what we've learned from Ellie today.
And I think we also have to mention Bear a little bit, just give him some props. I'll let you tell the story.
Well, I think another reason why we've had like just kind of this emotional week, and I don't think we're going to talk about it, but I'm glad you brought it up today, is that this Doug, his daughter and son-in-law had a St. Bernard, and they put him down this week. And they put him down because he's been aggressive towards a handful of people. And she's pregnant, she's having a baby, and there's been this issue because we probably wouldn't have put him down. We wouldn't have put him down. It's like it's too soon, too early.
Mm-hmm.
He was 9 years old or 8 years old, and they chose to put him down. And we just felt like it was not necessary. And so it's been interesting to negotiate all these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that we feel bad that Bear's no longer around.
That's how I feel. I mean, I remember Bear as a good dog.
Yes.
I remember him as a puppy. He came on my lap and he just literally hugged me. And then I remember that we spent the there are many times, you know, he'd just come out of the house when we're in our van and want to come in. And I just remember him as being just a sweet dog. Was he hairy and did he slobber everywhere? Yes, but that was him. You know, he's a good, loyal St. Bernard dog. And I remember the day that when Doug was having he was in the hospital, he had a seizure. He spent the day with us. And truly,
yes,
I never was afraid of him.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
And he wasn't a foodie, though, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
He was you couldn't bribe him, you know, with a treat or something. And I just feel this week that I just like to give honor to him for his loyalty and sweetness. And he was a good and faithful servant, you know. And that's all I really want to say, that I just want to honor that.
Yeah. I mean, he
I think it's appropriate during Elliot's Corner that we do.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was a good, faithful dog. And I remember many nights just having him lay on me and just almost to the point where you're not moving, Julie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay on you mm-hmm. and I'm going to lay on, you know, that's just how it was. You're not moving off this couch. We're just going to watch the show together.
And I think that, you would, I say, is that what you're going to wear tonight? And you go, yeah, Bear's going to be
right
on me all night long. So
right.
There's no use in putting anything good on, you know.
Exactly. That was a blessing. It was a blessing to go, I can wear whatever I want, anything I want to wear today, because I'm going to come home in fur and saliva.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's no point in dressing up. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, but he's a good dog. He was a good dog. So, didn't mean, you know, that's kind of why I think our week has been just kind of an incredibly bittersweet, emphasis on the bitter, week.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to Monday coming tomorrow and just changing the energy, you know, hopefully having more joy than this week. Mm-hmm. But I guess these weeks happen so that you can appreciate the good ones more than the bad ones.
That's true.
So
I guess that's the takeaway, huh?
I guess the takeaway. We experience the bad stuff so that we can really enjoy the good stuff. I guess that's a takeaway enough. And I'm going to take away enough too. I'm going to put this out there that my intention is that I'm going to become a masterful trainer with my dog. Mm-hmm. He's going to be
a great dog.
A great dog. That's my intention. He's going to be a love muffin that he is. He's going to be able to do those obstacle courses, which he loves to do. Mm-hmm. And him and I are going to have a great relationship. And I'm going to be like one of those people on YouTube where their Wheaton Terrier are dancing with him. And yeah,
I can see that.
I think he'd love that. But I just got to figure out how to train him.
That's the commitment level.
Yes.
I know that last night before I went to bed, saying my prayers, it was like, I am going to commit to a better pup.
Yes.
I'm going to commit to more training.
Right.
And any kind of training, really, that we have a chance to do, I'm going to commit to.
Well, you said that the other day, or last week, we were out together, and we took him in a trainable, we took him to a park. And there were a lot of people around. And so I was able to train him on not barking at people or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well. But you said to me, she goes, I get it now. Every moment's a trainable moment. It's like a teacher.
Right.
Every moment's a teachable moment.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is with
it
a dog.
Is, yes.
Every moment's a trainable moment. It can be kind of exhausting.
Right, right.
To have
It's a huge commitment,
it's
isn't
a huge,
it?
It's huge. To have a great dog.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already a good dog.
Yeah.
Now we're going to amp it up. He's going to be a great dog. He's going to win awards. And I'm going to throw it in those trainers' faces. Like, yeah, remember that Wheaton Terrier that you kicked out of Plains Day?
Yeah.
Award winning.
Yes, award winning.
Award winning. So, can't take credit for that, can you?
No, you can't.
I would have mentioned you before, but not anymore. So, that's my intention.
Good.
You ready for a little pillar talk?
Definitely.
Pillar talk. We have a lot to talk about during pillar talk.
Yes.
And today I made a point that I was going to start earlier in pillar talk than we usually do.
Good.
We usually start it at the last 15 minutes of our show, and there's not enough time. We usually have to end up talking really fast to get it all in because we're in this feverish discussion. As I drink a glass of water. Hold on. Thank you. Okay. So pillar talk. Christy and I, we want to talk about two things. We want to talk about sleep because we're writing a book and creating a program mm-hmm. about sleep and mm-hmm. getting getting really good sleep every night for a lot of different reasons. One is great for health, great for productivity in the daytime, mm-hmm. but also there's a spiritual component of why sleep is good.
Right.
And when we connect with it, it's...
It takes a priority, doesn't it?
Yes, it can be a priority.
It really is a great, it opens the door.
Yes.
It unlocks a thing that you go, oh, sleep, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
No.
And I also want to talk about our blog a day, because you wrote a blog. We wrote it together, kind of, but it's mostly you.
It's at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
Yep, at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com, about no deposit, no return, and how... Sometimes we look at our pillars, and we notice that. And I'll give an example for us. I said, after we wrote this blog, I said, you know what, Mom? I think you and I sometimes can coast on our relationship. And I said, what if we decide that we were going to make different deposits into our emotional bank?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an interesting thought, because
it really was.
I do rely on our relationship as being consistent, that it's the one thing I can rely on,
mm-hmm.
never changes, is never on the cutting board. And maybe I take it for granted. So therefore, what if I started making more deposits? Like, what if
consciously,
what if you and I started planning different discussions, not just based on business?
Mm-hmm.
What if we did different things, not just based on this? And so I was just like, well, this could be something fun to talk about.
That's right.
So first of all, I want to talk about now the sleep part.
Okay.
Do you want to say what our tentative name is for our book?
Well, we're writing a Kindle book, first of all.
And this all goes with our program that we're creating, because we're going to have four different hypnosis.
Maybe more.
Maybe there are four our program,
mm-hmm.
because sleep is so important.
Right. And we're doing these medical hypnosis, and
yes.
So we're incorporating, like, sleep will good sleep, and so that's just going to be a Kindle book, and we're going to begin next week a Kindle book on stress.
Right. They kind of go hand in hand in some
yes.
sense.
It's funny how sleep is so circular.
It is.
Literally everything that you touch as you prepare for sleep, and also you prepare for the next day, is important. And you can talk about stress, you can talk about health,
right?
Talk about your relationships, anger, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So so we're writing this Kindle book. It should be done maybe
this week, hopefully
this week.
Yeah,
I know we're starting the next one because everything's is at Fiverr right now.
Right,
we're getting it together.
And yesterday you said, let's think of a nice name for our book. And we're just kind of brainstorming. And I said, well, what about, sleep your way to the top.
That's right. And then I said, add, oh, the morning.
Yeah.
So we're going to call it Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning. Right.
That was a wonderful.
It's a lovely title.
It's a lovely, fun title.
It may be a little long, but it's lovely.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. I mean, that's going to work. I think it's a great working title.
The opposite one was Crush Sleep.
Yeah, Crush It.
Crush It.
Crush that sleep. But there's one of our chapters we talk about in our book is really this idea that that sleep can be a spiritual practice.
It's has a huge spiritual component in your life.
And you said, which we believe, that during sleep, God, the universe, really is
creating
the day,
the next day for you. Yes.
And in some ways, all the seeds you've planted, they're growing during sleep.
That's right.
And it is your time to rest. And resting is part of everything in creation, in
mm-hmm.
creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is your intentional time. And so many times we've heard, like, oh, I got to stay up late tonight to do this. I got to get up early tomorrow to do this. Like, sleep is just part of this thing of your day that you can just throw away.
It's an inconvenience.
It's inconvenient.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's not an inconvenience.
Mm-mm.
It is. It's just so important to make the rest of your life better, easier, happier.
Yes.
And how do we look at that? And what if you thought that your dreams were...
percolating?
Yes. Percolating and giving you downloads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your actual 3D dreams are percolating and growing inside during your sleep. And then the dreams that you get during the night are helping you out or giving mm-hmm. you information.
Absolutely.
Or they're releasing what needs to be released.
Right, clearing the clutter.
Somebody about 2 weeks ago won the $400 million Powerball.
Correct.
And you were telling me one person won. She was sharing it with her seven adult children, and they were tithing first. And she said that this truly was divine download or divine intervention, that she went to bed, she had a dream, she dreamt of these numbers, she played them, and she won.
Right.
And
boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And so
she was conscious of her sleep.
Yes. And what if we're getting these messages all the time during our sleep, but because we're not
caring
for our sleep right. as important,
right?
They're not coming. We're not able to.
You're missing them.
Yes. I mean, how often do we have dreams? We wake up and then 5 minutes later, they're literally gone, or literally,
yeah,
10 seconds later.
Right. Sometimes, if you just move your position, your head position,
like, wait
you
a minute,
lose
I had a dream. What was it?
Yeah.
And you hope it comes back, or you hope right. the message that you were meant to have is still inside you.
You know, there's that the quote: "This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." And you can rejoice and be glad because you've done a good job resting and sleeping yes. and allowing, you know, the Creator
yes.
to go ahead and create your day for you.
Right, right. And we also talk about this idea of having bookends. Bookends are the things, the spiritual things we do at night to get ourselves, you know, for bed and get ourselves ready for the next day. And in the morning, the spiritual things we do to get ourselves going in the daytime.
Right. And it's like to adopt a perspective on
right.
the day.
Yes.
You know, some people say, oh, good God, morning.
Right.
And some people say, good morning, God.
Exactly.
And there's the two perspectives.
Right. It really is that easy.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, how many people do you know wake up going, oh, morning? And they really haven't slept either. They've just been in this restful or restless, I don't even know, we can call it resting. I mean, so many times I've done this, woken up, and I 3 hours before I should really wake up, and I got the TV on, mm-hmm. and I'm watching Law and Order, mm-hmm. or I'm watching Law and
Order. Yeah,
SVU.
We talk about those things
yes.
in this sleep book.
And then you just go, wait a minute, what am I doing? And the rest of your day, you just feel like crap. And why? I don't even think it's not laziness. It's just more of not taking your life as seriously as you could
right,
take it.
Not taking sleep seriously.
Right. And how different your life could be if you chose to take sleep
seriously.
I mean,
one of the first things that if you watch The Nanny, you know, Super Nanny.
Yeah.
She puts the kids on a strict schedule. Why? Because consistency is hugely important in everybody's life. But because we're adults, we think, oh, I don't know, I'll just flop to bed. I won't put pajamas on. I won't
right.
wash my face.
Brush
I won't
my
brush
teeth.
My teeth.
Yeah.
You know, to do any of the things that promote your transition from, you know, a busy day and to a great night's sleep.
Right. And I remember that you used to say, before you go to bed, you can say your prayers, but you always say, ask yourself these three questions. You know, what can I celebrate today? What gave me joy today? Where did I have growth today?
Mm-hmm.
By asking yourself these three questions at night, first of all, you're setting your mind up to answer them.
Yes.
And you're
because
also...
Because the brain loves a question.
Exactly. Also, it's setting yourself up tomorrow to seek out things
those
that you
things
can celebrate.
Those things that give you joy.
Yeah.
Those things that you can celebrate.
Things that you can find growth. You can also say, what gave me love today? Or how mm-hmm. did I express love today? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different questions you can put on your spiritual bookend mm-hmm. that gets your brain moving. And so many times, I think because the way society moves so fast, we don't have the patience to keep asking ourselves the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned is that the longer you sit with something, the different revelations that come to you,
mm-hmm.
the different wisdom. You go deeper with the knowledge. I mean, life is like an onion. You keep peeling away the layers and the layers
and
go deeper.
And I can hear somebody saying, oh, right, you don't know my circumstances right now. There's nothing to celebrate. There's no joy. And I want you to remember that if you're a complainer, and I'm saying not just here and there, but if in general you find yourself a complainer, a Debbie Downer, you know that you're operating in defeat already. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how cool you are or whatever. But if you're that kind of personality, you're operating in defeat.
Yes.
You're eventually defeated.
Right.
Well, you already are. But if you're operating in, hey, what did cause me to celebrate today? Where is my joy? Who can I love? How can I be of service? Those things, you're operating in victory.
Yes. Amen.
That's important.
It is important.
Yeah.
It, not just for yourself, but people around you. I remember I said Dennis Prager. I meant Dennis Prager.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis Prager one time said, it really is your societal responsibility to come to the world as pleasant as possible.
I agree.
You know,
it's those kind of things have been lost in this culture.
Yes,
we talk about in the old days. You know, that's why we're naming our book "Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning." Because in the old days, you would say "top of the morning" to a person.
Yes.
But if you were a curmudgeon, if you were cranky, if you were crabby, you would say,
good day, sir. I said good day.
That's right. We've lost that.
Yes. But now we say, top of the morning to you, sir.
Top of the morning.
Instead of, good day, sir.
I said good day.
I said good day. Get off my lawn. Leave me alone. Exactly. Exactly. And so we need to, if we can decide that we are in control of our own energy and that our biggest responsibility to the world mm-hmm. is to come to the plate
right.
with kindness,
yes.
with being pleasant.
Loving kindness.
Really, you can say I've succeeded today.
Yes.
No matter
you
what was
victory.
Going in my
you had
life.
Victory.
Yeah, I had victory. No matter what was going on in my life, mm-hmm. the truth is I added to the world by being kind.
Right.
I didn't take away from it by being a beat or a, you know, creepy me,
right.
you know.
And I want to say, because we're going to be doing a program on this a little bit later, not a show, but I mean an actual coaching program, that our brain was designed for good thoughts.
Yes.
For pleasant thoughts.
It really was. And we know that by having these pleasant thoughts in our brain, and we grab a hold of them, and we expand on them, helps our mood, our body, our immune system,
our
chemistry, everything.
Right.
And when we've gone through a cycle where we're holding on to the negative thoughts, they can take us down, they can hurt us.
Mm-hmm. And also, I noticed that the negative thoughts create a circular pattern. Mm. And you can slide down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
And once you're down there, your brain is like tracking for all injustices that have been done to you, how you were hurt as a child. You know, I mean, it starts pulling up
right.
all these things.
Right.
You can. It's your, you know, you have them pretty much in your back pocket anyway. But it's usually that we're meant to master those things.
Yes.
We're not meant to be mastered by them.
I always see that one commercial for that investment group where the guy goes, okay, in the past, put all the good things you had that have happened to you in blue and all the bad things that have happened to you in yellow. And then now for the future, I want you to do the same thing. What do you think is going to happen to you bad and what do you think is going to happen to you positively? And the past always looks like there's a lot more bad stuff that happened to you.
Right.
And the future, very little bad
rosy.
Stuff happened.
Right.
Yeah, all
right.
rosy.
Right.
And so we all have those bad things. None of us have gotten out of this world unscathed. But we don't have to add to our own misery.
No.
And we don't have to add to somebody else's. And
we don't have to be somebody else's mountain. And we don't have to stand for that mountain in our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, that's a good point, girlfriend. Can I just give you props for that quote? I'm going to write it down right
now. Write it down. Put it in the book.
My mama said, we don't have to be someone's mountain. We have to stand for that mountain.
That's right.
We can cut that mountain up, blow it up.
Tunnel under.
And hey, maybe there's like gold in that mountain.
God, that's right.
Find that gold.
That's right.
I mean, you've always said your biggest obstacle is your biggest gift to the world in some sense.
It is.
There might be some gold in that mountain. Or
there's gold in them there hills.
That's right. Something like that. Or we take our obstacle and turn it from a mountain to a hill and so forth. So I want to change the direction a little bit. And mm-hmm. I want everybody to you know, check out our Kindle book in a little bit about mm-hmm. sleep. We're getting there.
We'll tell you when it's up. But in the meantime, buy the Clutterfly Effect.
In the meantime, think about your bookends for sleep.
Yes.
What, you know, just going back really quick to the bookends, you know, talking about those questions you ask. I mean, what if you had a 15-minute ritual before bed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had your gratitude journal, your appreciation mm-hmm. book. You wrote down there, you know, and if you had stress or worries, you wrote those down too. God, universe, please take care of these.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what I could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving them to you.
Right.
You know, and then you can not have to worry about them over during your sleep. I like the idea of having a little notebook by your bed, because if you wake up in the middle of the night with a thought, put it down.
Just put it right down. Write it down.
You don't have to act on it, because if you just went back to bed,
mm-hmm.
you can then, you know, when morning comes, when you're alert and feeling great,
right?
Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So think about, and what if you wrote down the two or three things that you have to do tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. so they're not just floating around your energy.
I would totally tell people to do that. And I would say, don't let it be right before bed.
Right.
I would say that's part of a ritual that takes place an hour or two before bedtime, is to gently get ready for the next day.
Yes.
So that you feel prepared. You feel handled, you know, well handled to take on the day.
Exactly. And then what can you do in the morning spiritually?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In our Clutterfly book, we talk about that an hour of spiritual work a day equals 10 hours of physical work.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool leverage.
We say those are great odds.
Those are great odds.
Or as you say, leverage.
And so the spiritual work you do in the morning and at night,
mm-hmm.
it's not a waste of time.
Never a waste of time.
I mean, and let God, the universe, take care of things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let him set things up. So many times you've heard stories about what looks like just coincidences or even things going awry
mm-hmm.
end up being big breakthroughs.
Right.
People that you've met, you're like, whoa, this person really helped me out. I'm helping them out.
Right.
And I would never have met them if my car didn't have a flat tire earlier that day. You know, and you go, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So we just never know the spiritual side of our life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we know where we're heading.
And especially if we're being on the lookout for it.
Yes.
That's cool, I think.
It is cool.
You know, as opposed to just going, oh, no, another traffic jam.
Right.
Or I can remember Wayne Dyer telling a story where he was in a traffic jam and he was late for this meeting. It was a very important meeting. And he was all flustered, and he said, wait a minute, I can just relax and trust. And he said that on the way up the elevator to the floor in this meeting, an old friend got in the same time. He hadn't seen him in decades. But he was, I think he was editor of some sort of food channel or something.
Right.
And they got to talking, and Wayne said, oh, I think, you know, my daughter is a chef, and she just loves,
right,
you know, cooking. And they set up a meeting
right
at that point for him and for this daughter to go meet this guy. Never would have happened.
No.
Never.
No.
I mean, I love stories like that.
I do, too.
I love stories
like
that.
Well, and I wrote down what you just said, relax and trust.
Right.
To rely on the spirit totally. What if we could just trust more that it's all going to be okay.
Right.
That's all going to be okay.
Right.
So as we move on to more pillar talk,
yes.
I want to say trust more. So we wrote this blog a day about, you know, no deposit, no
return.
Return. Thank you. I was going to say no withdrawal, but that's not it. But it really is about looking at some of the pillars in our lives that are working fine. You know, they're going okay. Not a lot of growth, but certainly not a big light needs to be shined on them. But what
we call it coasting.
Coasting. Sitting on the, you know, middle ground. Just coasting, middle ground, everything's easy. But what if we chose to look at those and say, wait a minute, what if this area that's already good in my life could be awesome, could be magnificent?
Mm-hmm.
what if that could happen?
Mm-hmm. And how, or even just a little bit better.
Tweaking your way there. A little upgrade can be make a big difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. It stirs the emotions, stirs the juices in our lives.
But I think because we tend to take for granted those areas that work a lot easier, the other areas get all the attention.
Right. Yes.
And then all of a sudden you may find that there's a deposit that needs to be made because you've been living on the interest.
Right.
That's all you've been doing. You haven't been putting any money in.
Years ago, Stephen Covey, is that his name?
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
One of the things that always stuck out in me in that book was he talks about making an emotional deposit in your friendship banks, in your family banks.
Yes.
So that later in life, if you need to make withdrawals, you got stuff in there.
You bet.
And sometimes, though, you forget you've been coasting on those deposits way too long. Mm-hmm. And now you got to start depositing it again because mm-hmm. they it's need new it. Life. It is worth it. It is worth it. And
you're right. You're going to say that they need new life.
They need a new life.
They need new life to be breathed into them because it can get, you know, the word that's come to me is sort of saggy, you know.
Or stale.
Stale.
And we talk about this in the blog that all of a sudden you can look up and you realize that you've moved back or other people have gone ahead of you.
Yes, and it may look like you've moved back.
Yes, because other people have who focused on it because mm-hmm. they might have been struggling. Mm-hmm. Now they're ahead of you mm-hmm. because you just kind of have let things coast. And I can tell you that, you know, I don't think Doug's listening, but there are times I know that I've coasted with Doug. It's easy. It's easy. When things aren't going bad, it's easy to coast. Certainly with you and I, we've coasted sometimes, even though our coasting is at a really high level. Mm-hmm. I wonder what our relationship could be if we could make different deposits. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly feel we make emotional deposits all the time in our account, but what if we changed them up, you know, instead of this kind of deposit, make a different kind of deposit.
Right, right.
I don't know. It would be fun to think about.
It is.
And that's the thing.
And it doesn't take a huge amount of time.
This is the most important thing when we talk about areas that are doing okay in your life. They don't take a lot of time. They are more fun to put energy into mm-hmm. because you're already starting at a higher place, mm-hmm. a place of already victory. Mm-hmm. There's no energy to say, you know, we talk about always starting it from a place of victory. Mm-hmm. But when your things are going okay, you're already there anyway. Mm-hmm. It's funner. It's enjoyable.
Is that a word, Julie?
Funner?
Yeah.
More fun?
That's
there
you
it.
Go.
There you go. So we want to say, hey, today, look, where are, it could be your health. You could have been taking care of yourself for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, you know what? I could upgrade my health regimen. Mm-hmm. You know, I do only just walk 30 minutes a day, which is great. And I do feel pretty healthy, but what if I started doing a yoga class? Mm-hmm. What if I did other stuff? I remember listening to this one guy. He says, if you want to maintain anything, you got to shoot for growth. You got to do more. Because
sure.
If you're just coasting, maintaining ends up sliding backwards. And so
true.
Yeah. So we say, hey, let's look at all these things in our area and our lives. And what if we could tweak our way to a next level? You know,
just by a little
tweak
deposit.
Deposit for sure.
Speaking of deposits, one of the things that we have to work on is Elliot's little deposits that he leaves every once in a while in the house.
Yes.
We're not talking about those kind of deposits.
No, not talking about those deposits. I was going to say, I might leave those deposits once in a while, too, around the house. No.
Those are called elderberries.
Exactly. So, girlfriend, how was the show tonight?
Yeah.
Well, before you say anything, though, yes. Go take a look. Don't say it yet.
I won't.
But take a look at our blog at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
Buy our book
on Amazon, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And talk to us at
support@ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
Listen, we still look at talk to us at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
We still do.
But it's just loaded with
crap.
Crap.
Yeah.
So You may get lost in the shuffle, but support at ChristineMarieAngelia.com. So, Mama, now, how was the show tonight?
I felt the show was, let me just say, it was great.
It was great. It was great.